Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the September 8 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Todd Hubbs, University of Illinois Commodity Market Specialist, Chris Hurt from Purdue Extension, an ag economist, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Chuck, let's start with you today. Where do we stand, in your opinion, in the soybean market? We've had a nice little rally this week.
Yeah, we sure have, and it was good to see that triggered possibly by a lot of world buyers interested at those lower prices. I think there's probably a little bit of concern, too, that the yield may be going backwards here as we've had cooler weather across a lot of the country, but certainly lacking rainfall. So a couple of combinations of reasons I think the soybean market responded positively.
Was there short covering in this process, and did open interest change, meaning is it short-lived kind of push higher, do you think?
Well, certainly the funds came in after the last USDA report and were pretty aggressive sellers, and they were the cause of the big decline in the market. I think those funds have started to move out of some of those positions, and the combination of the two of them, Todd, really led to this rally. Now the question going forward is, what do we do with what we have here, and do we add on those gains next week, or do we go backwards again?
Chris Hurt, your assessment of the soybean market?
Well, again, I think we're seeing a world that is saying soybeans, we still need soybeans. We have a strong demand base for grains. We've got good income in the United States. We really see the world with overall fairly good growth in income later this year and going into next year, so that, I think, looks positive. We're going to add to that that since the first of the year, the value of the U.S. dollar, measured by the dollar index futures, has been down 11%. And we not only have the low cash prices in terms of futures prices, but we also have the ability for the world to buy right now. And I think that's we're going to see follow through. So I think a good chance we put in the bottom in the bean market. Now we'll have to see what size the crop is.
Any dissenting view from you, Todd Hubbs?
I don't disagree with what they said. I feel like this yield number coming out next Tuesday is going to be a big piece of information for the market. You know, the USDA, they've traditionally been a little bit low on their August yield forecast for soybeans over the last 5 years. It does feel like the yield's lower to me. I don't think it's going to be substantially lower. And if not, I think maybe we'd see these prices carry forward. If it is substantially lower, I think this thing might drive forward a little bit. We got to keep in mind, I try to think about, we still have a large Brazilian crop that's not being completely marketed. And while we do see income growth in Southeast Asia and China, and a lot of our soybean importers, I don't know if we're going to see the kind of exports we saw this year in soybeans. We may. It's still going to be a really strong export market in 17-18. But I don't know if it's enough to support, say, $10 beans into next summer.
A week ago, Todd Hubbs, at the Farm Progress Show, I had five Brazilian soybean producers sat in the audience there at the University of Illinois tent. They had a really good interpreter with them. They let me ask them some questions as we were talking about the commodity markets. Between the five of them, they farmed 2.2 million acres total, not hectares, but acres. And I did ask if they had more beans left, and before I could get that question, or she could get that question back out of her mouth, they were all, yes, we have beans to market. So it appears that the Brazilian farmers do have a lot of soybeans to market. What problems does this pose for the U.S. export market, do you think?
It really does depend on how competitive our price is with Brazil's export price. We saw the real weaken against the dollar recently. I know the dollar's been a little bit weaker, but when I look at the export markets and buyers for U.S. soybeans, that U.S.-Brazilian exchange rate is a pretty nice indicator of, you know, maybe how we see exports flowing out, especially export sales numbers. So, how competitive are we? I think we're competitive right now with, you know, their port prices in Brazil. And, you know, if we can stay competitive in price moving forward, yeah, we'll export. But they have the beans, and they're going to start planting their crop soon, and we'll see what their numbers look like as we move through the fall and early next year.
Maybe a compliment to this discussion about South America is that South America had an enormous yield, both in Brazil and Argentina, and that as we go forward, and now we're thinking about on into next spring, as they start harvesting their crop in South America, you know, we're looking for substantially lower production there. So I think maybe what this does is Todd is saying it troubles us, it restricts us from selling as many beans here this fall, but alternatively, we'll have better opportunities on into next spring, and that could bring some opportunities for maybe some higher prices next spring during the storage season.
So, Chuck, that brings me back to you and what you're telling producers about marketing a crop that has been, for the last 3 years, for many of them, the more profitable, soybeans over corn, that is. However, they're not generally used to putting that in the bin, and I don't know whether that would be something that they would be willing to do at this point. How do you deal with a crop that has some carry in the market for soybeans at this point, and what are the possibilities for marketing it?
Well, I think one of the things producers, if they need the cash flow and they need to move some beans out of the field, we would be encouraging them to look at some rein ownership strategies going forward. When you look at the world demand and you couple that with what potentially a smaller USDA projecting a little bit lower yield, I think it says you want some re-ownership of that crop. If you have some storage, maybe taking advantage of that. But one thing that's a concern to us would what be going on in North Korea. And when you look at our biggest customer, China, is a big part of that issue. There could be some short-term interruptions if some bad things happen over in North Korea. So we like some paper positions here. And if you can store beans, store them, but if you let them go, try to buy them back.
In fact, Chris Hurt, North Korea is potentially a problem. The president has said that about North Korea, that those who trade with North Korea may be at risk of trading with the United States, at least on his Twitter account once. I don't know how to deal with that exactly. I don't know what producers should think about that, but it is something that could impact the market. And I suppose because China imports so many of U.S. and Brazilian soybeans that it could create a problem.
Well, there's no question. These geopolitical potential events are enormous. I think we all know that. We know any kind of nuclear threats are enormous as well. And I think in general, what we've seen is that markets, including our agricultural commodity markets and our equity markets, so let's think how this also would affect Wall Street, and they have taken a fairly cool-handed approach to not jump or drop sharply as we hear some of the rhetoric. And again, I think it's like many of these geopolitical events. Probably we will be rational, we will work through, we'll work through the diplomatic ranks, and that they won't be major disruptions. It's always kind of the black swan, or one of the black swan that is there. And not only China is our number one export destination for ag goods, South Korea is number five, and Japan is number four. So the region is enormously important to U.S. farmers. I think I would regard it as a black swan. We'll go ahead and do our business as best we can without expecting something major there, but keep in our back thoughts, how would we react, what we would do if something major did happen.
So the expectation is that this year's production, at least at this point, would be what, about 4.38 billion bushels, and more than half of that would be exported out of the United States?
Oh, no, there's no question that China and trade with China is absolutely critical. Any disruption at all could be very serious. And again, I think we have seen statements made that could be very perilous to agriculture with regard to trade. On the other hand, we haven't made major changes in those trade policies. It's important for China to have open trade with the United States as well. And, I think we hope rational and cool hands do prevail as we go into the future.
Next week, USDA will release its world agricultural supply and demand estimates, which these would be part of those numbers, along with its updated crop production report on September the 12th. That's Tuesday. You can check out those numbers as quickly as I can get them up on the website at willag.org. Chuck Shelby, however, today, what do you think your price range looks like for soybean?
Well, I think the upper side of the range, $10 futures, are not out of the question here. As we go forward, I think the big question is how much has this crop deteriorated in the recent month here? We've had the cool temperatures again, but lack of water. A lot of these beans are shutting down. So I guess optimistically, when you look at the upside, $10 is a nice round number that the market has attacked multiple times here. Going beyond there as we move into harvest, I think would be a difficult number to jump over. But that's an objective, best case scenario. $9.90 to $10 futures is somewhere. If you need to make sales, we would let some more beans go.
Risk management commodities is one of those places that Reuters and Bloomberg and the rest of them tend to contact from time to time to check and see what your potential yield and production might be for the upcoming reports. What do your numbers look like?
We're using 48 on beans. With the recent weather, though, probably next month we would drop down another bushel, but we're in the 48 range for this report on beans.
Chris Hurt, what do you see as the current trading range for soybeans, and should farmers use that as a way to market?
Well, as Chuck suggests, we've had a lot of overhead resistance on November futures, 10.20. We did make one spike back in July up to 10.40. So I think he's exactly right. A test of the $10 range or $10 level, I think, would be about as strong as we would expect right now. And then saying that the 10.20, 10.30 is kind of the upside. Downside, probably down in the 9.40 range. Again, we get a big number out of USDA on Tuesday. Market will have to take that seriously. USDA numbers are important and very rational in terms of the scientific base they have behind them.
Todd Hubbs, yesterday at the Beck Ag Center there at Purdue University for their field day, you suggested that you were a fan of rallies. I think most everybody is. However, for a while, since December, in fact, maybe before that, you've been talking about this crop year for soybeans. And when cash beans were at that $10 level, suggesting producers should make sales. Where do you stand today?
I'm a little bit more bearish. And the thing about the $10 forward contracts into July, there's a lot of basis risk in soybeans. So if you're thinking about storing, in particular, folks in Illinois and Indiana need to take that into consideration. We saw a really weak basis through the spring this year, and we could see that again next year if the supplies are where the USDA currently thinks it is. Right now, I'm sort of projecting a 48.5 yield. That's where I think they might be, but it could be higher than that. And if it is, I think prices will reflect that. Right now, I've got I do a sort of a seasonal average price through it, and I've got somewhere in the 915 to 925 range over the full marketing year. But there'll be opportunities, I think, to price much higher. If we see problems with the South American crop, I definitely think that there'll be opportunities to market soybeans this marketing year. It just means, paying close attention and taking your chances.
Yeah, let's go back through one number, because I think you said this already during the program, but you just suggested it could be higher than your 48.5, USDA at 49.4. Why do you think things might change, go up from August to September, or August to January, or whenever that time frame you're looking at is?
I don't think it will, just based on USDA's history of soybean yield forecast. You know, since 2005, their August forecast has always been low for their final yield number. Now, this year may be an outlier to that. There's been a few times when it's been higher than the final yield, but never by more than a bushel. And I get a little nervous about discounting USDA's numbers because they've been so good the last couple of years, in particular on corn and soybeans, particularly when they come out with the September number. So I'm sort of in a wait and see pattern. I'm really looking forward to next Tuesday's crop production report to see where the numbers are at. I do think it's lower. I do think soybean yields are lower for a lot of reasons, and particularly in the Corn Belt. But I'll have to wait and see on that.
Of course, we've had drought conditions across parts of the Dakotas, Iowa, especially into the central and southeast, south central and southeastern corners, our bottom of that state, even into Illinois. Let's transition into the corn market, and we'll start with you, Mr. Hubbs, about it. Crop production looks like what for you this year?
Well, I've got the, right now I'm sort of sitting on a yield of about 168, which is honestly higher than I think it really is, but the numbers seem to be coming out. I think we'll lose a bushel or two on this yield forecast next week. And so, you know, it's going to bring down the total production numbers, but not, I think, enough to be a big market mover. We really needed it to be below 164, somewhere in that range, I think, to get a really strong run out of corn. So as far as production numbers, I think it's going to go down, but not enough to really give us a good charge in corn prices, maybe a little bit, 10 to 15 cents.
Chuck Shelby, we're sitting with USDA today at 169.5 bushel to the acres, acre nationwide. Do you have a number for corn?
Yes, Todd, our number is 167. We feel that, for example, the Indiana crop at 171, equal to last year from the farmers we work with and on our own farms, we just can't imagine that this crop of corn is equal to last year. And when you look at the states of Iowa, your biggest corn producing state, as you mentioned, a large portion of that state has been in a pretty major drought in the important time of the growing season when we're pollinating and filling kernels and things. That's really important to us to see your major state like Iowa go downhill. And even Illinois is far from, you know, last year's crop. So we're at 167, but believe going forward that we will see that shrink down some more.
Chris Hurt, your thoughts?
Well, obviously, a lot of discussion about the numbers being so high on corn in the August report from USDA. And probably that is attributable to both the problems we had, as have been mentioned already, throughout major growing areas, but also to the crop condition reports that come out on Monday. Now, those crop condition reports, you know, had continually been showing this 2017 crop is under trouble, substantially lower than certainly our very good crops. And I think that also helped the trade be encouraged to come in a little bit lower. What I want to say since that time, though, is that actually those crop condition reports have improved. And the model I track shows that that has improved yields about 3 bushels, or maybe a little more than 3 bushels, since the August 1st time period when USDA did their survey. Now, so do we go to their 169 level and add 3 more bushels to that? Or do we go back to what the trade was thinking, more the 166 or so, and add 3 bushels? I'm coming out a little bit higher. I'm going to suggest that I think the trade will, the USDA will come out about around the 170 bushel level. And again, I'd be a little bit higher than the general guess on the trade right now.
So you are in line with what the USDA's weekly crop progress reports are showing, or closer to that.
That's correct.
And an increase.
Fairly close to a little higher than what they turned out in August. but confirming that the crop is near that 170 mark.
Is that because you think the Iowa and Illinois crops are better than they have been, and or can you see that in the weekly crop report?
I think it's primarily based on crop conditions. When I do a statistical analysis of past crop condition reports, and we were a below average crop at about a 50th percentile would be a normal crop. We were about 45th percentile back in August. We're at the 57th percentile now. So we've gone from a below average crop to somewhat above average crop. So that's largely what my analysis is based on.
And that's primarily in the 12 Corn Belt states?
18 states that USDA surveys in the crop condition reports.
All right. So what are you suggesting producers look at for a price range for corn?
Well, I think first, you know, we have, if we don't go too much above the 169, 170, I think reasonable chance, you know, we have put the bottom in the corn market. That's not to say we're going to see strong recovery. I think probably on the December futures, 380, if we would see an opportunity at something around 380 a bushel for bushels that had to be sold at harvest time would make some sense. We do have a lot of carry, a strong carry in the futures market. With basis appreciation, it sure looks like a favorable year to think about storage, particularly on-farm storage.
Chuck Shelby, what should a producer do and what are you telling them?
Well, as we go towards harvest here, the market is at a price that most producers probably don't really want to let the crop go. If we get a rally, we'd agree to take advantage of that. Deferred futures on a recovery from wherever the low may be, looking towards the $4 level into the March futures, and you can add 10 cents to the carry as you go further out. One thing we could look at is a crop that at that yield will be a little bit smaller carry out, and therefore we should see similar price actions as we did last year, and we're looking to try to sell the $4 level again.
And Todd Hubbs, when you think about this crop as a whole, do you have suggestions for producers as to whether they should store it or other options?
Well, here in Illinois, the commercial storage isn't penciling out. There's no return to it. But on-farm storage looks like it's going to get about 5% return. So I think it is a good idea if you got the ability to store on-farm to store corn moving forward. I think there's going to be really strong demand for corn this year through ethanol, through feed, and export markets. I think these are really competitive prices for U.S. producers and for people to buy the corn, and I think we're going to see it move out. So, you know, I agree with Chuck. I think it's a traditional marketing year for corn, and you'll see the basis narrow as we move through. So I think storing corn is a good idea. How you go about doing that, that's, you know, up to you. There's a lot of ways to do it, but I'm for storing corn if you can.
On that note, yesterday at the Beck Ag Center, you told us a little bit about what a normal traditional marketing year looks like for corn, Chris Hurt. Can you explain that again for me, please?
Sure. And again, as we have overall large inventories of corn, soybeans, and wheat, not only in the U.S. but the world, that what we see is reasonably narrow ranges from the highs to the lows, and that after, especially after harvest, once we really zero in on the size of the crop, that is the supply base, then you tend to establish November, December, January a trading range. And that trading range, as we look at it this last year as an example, actually has been very important in terms of helping people decide where to price. If you're in a trading range market, first thing with large supplies, don't expect major increases in price, like the $2 on soybeans, but let's be more conservative. Think about the 15, 20 cent rallies in corn and maybe 40, 50 cent rallies in soybeans. Now, there will be a year, there will be an event that causes those corn prices and bean prices to go up substantially, but as long as we have surpluses, we need to be more conservative. So I think look for that trading range And then the marketing strategy from a speculative pricing standpoint is I want to be selling or consider pricing each time we get rallies up to the top end of the range. And I want to be holding more aggressively as we're seeing prices at the lower end of that range.
And finally, let's get a final word from each of you. I thank Chuck Shelby from Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. We'll start with you.
Well, I think there's opportunities this year. They've come at different times as we've seen reasons for the market to go up. Agree wholeheartedly with Chris there when we're down at the lower end of the ranges. If you need to try to buy back a crop, that's an opportunity. But we are stuck in ranges, and we should take advantage of the upper end when we have opportunity.
Todd Hubbs from the University of Illinois.
Yeah, I agree with what Chuck and Chris said. You know, pay attention to these rallies, and when they run up, you know, have yourself in a position to take advantage of them because they will occur, especially through the fall and spring of the year. So it is going to be a tough marketing year. You know, if producers got their marketing plans in place and really start thinking hard about, you know, what they need to do to make it through this year, get them in place, pay attention, and take advantage of those rallies.
And finally, Chris Hurt from Purdue.
Well, I think we're obviously all focused on the 17 crop at this point, but there are, I think, some signs that we may begin to emerge as we think about the 18 crop with maybe a little bit better economics. We've got overall corn inventories. We expect those to improve a little bit with the 17 crop, probably a bit more with the 18 crop. We had record yields in the U.S. Last year, record yields in South America following. We're not going to have those kind of yields in the world for sure in the future. Meanwhile, I think producers, we recommend they keep doing what they've been doing in these tight margin times, hunkering down, if you will, looking for every efficiency, looking for every way to cut cost. And we're continuing to get some adjustments on the cost side with fertilizer prices, particularly nitrogen, coming on down. And I think this is what we're going to have to do. Keep the pressure on, keep great management, and we'll come out of this. But we're really looking for another 1 to 2 years.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us and listen to our whole program online anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Todd Hubbs, University of Illinois Commodity Markets, Chris Hurt, Purdue Extension Ag Economist, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.